guest speaker from all the way. Can I get a drum roll quickly? So guys, just welcome Maria. I'm going to stretch out a hand, but just quickly, his wife, his lovely wife there at the back, is Yanda. And please don't try to call them on their surname because it's very difficult. He's Verhoef. Not Verhoef, he's Verhoef. That's his lovely wife in the back, and they've got a lovely daughter, Meira. She's also a church child, so she's here around somewhere. We just want to welcome them. And this morning on my way to church, I was just thinking of them as a family, but especially Maria. So he's a qualified engineer. And when I just thought of him this morning on my way to church, I was so blessed by knowing that this man gave up the call of a engineer, qualified engineer in Secunda, and he felt the prompting and the unction of the Lord to step into full-time ministry a few years back. And so I just want to honor you. You have a gift that you bring to the house here to us this morning, and we really honor that. And we really want to thank you for being obedient and following the Lord in this full-time capacity. If you want to go and see what an engineer earns and what a full-time church guy earns, then it doesn't make sense to be full-time in the ministry and giving up that. But that is what God does. He blesses us in our faithfulness, in our obedience to His call. So we just want to honor you with that, Maria. Thank you. We open up our hearts. Let's quickly pray for him. Lord, we thank you that we can receive this family from Secunda. Thank you that they are blessing us. Lord, we want to open up our hearts. We receive this word that you're going to bless us with in relation month on this Sunday, here this morning. We bless their family. We bless them, Lord, in health and finances. And we welcome them here as laborers in the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Maria.
Amen. Thank you, Dad. Awesome. It is really nice to be here. Yeah, like Dylan said, I'm Maria, and that is my wife, Yanda, at the back. We are from Secunda, and I just want to ask us a question. It's a really important question. Are you the person, and discuss this with the person next to you, are you someone who likes cold days with movies and pancakes and coffee, or are you someone that likes hot days with braai and swimming? It's really important. It's going to determine what we are going to talk about. I'm joking. Okay, so who's the cold? The cold. Nice. And the hot days. Awesome. Let's just pray before we start. Just dedicate this. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for relationship month. Lord, we thank you for your heart towards relationships. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of relationships and that you love us. You love each one of us, Lord, that you know the count of our hair on our heads. Now, we want to praise you, we want to thank you, Lord, that we are excited about learning more about relationships and about your heart. Relationships. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So this is the second week of relationships. And we are going to talk about romantic relationships. So I want to ask you, let's just have maybe a raise of hands. Who is married today?
Maybe not tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. At this stage. Okay, who is at this stage single? The rest of us. If you haven't put your hand up, what are you doing? No, I'm just joking. So it was wonderful for me when I thought of relationship. I knew this passage of Ephesians 5. Who of you know the passage of Ephesians 5? It speaks about wives should submit unto your husbands, and husbands, you should love your wives. And I knew that passage, and I was like, Lord, I'm not going to talk about this passage. I'm going to search for anything else about the relationships I can speak about. And I just felt the Lord say, oh, okay, you don't want to talk about it, right? And yeah, He guided me to talk about this today. And it was wonderful. It's wonderful for me to see the heart of this passage, because I think that this passage has been abused. Amen? I think... It, people, by the world. And it is wonderful for me to see what it really means. So we're gonna focus on this today, and it's beautiful. And you know, man, I wanna ask you, wherever you find yourself, whether maybe you are uncomfortable about speaking, about listening about this. Maybe you feel that you are scared about this topic. Maybe you feel, maybe you are single, maybe you are engaged, maybe you are married, maybe you are in an abusive relationship, maybe you were. There's something special about this passage for each one of us. So I want you, if you are single and you are reading Wives, don't tap out. Okay? There's something about this that is really beautiful, and God is using this image of man and woman, and also he also relates to Jesus and the church. And there's something beautiful in it for each one of us. Amen? So don't tap out on us. It's an encouraging piece of scripture. So just there where you are, I want to ask you, where is the relationships in your life, and how does it look like? And if you are married, I want you to focus on that one. If you are single, or maybe you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, I want you to focus on the relationship with the Lord. Also, if you are married, focus on the relationship with the Lord. But how does it look? Just reflect a bit. When I look at people that is married, we look at a lot of things. We can pick up a lot of things. Now we can see tones of voice, hugs, apologies, shrugs, comments, maybe of affirmation, belittling, go do this. You can see it, maybe we can observe. How does your relationship look to other people? Does it shine a light on Jesus? Or does it look, do you think you can work a bit on it? Now, obviously we can always work on it, amen? But how does it look like? How does that relationship with the Lord look like? If I look at you, does it encourage me to stir that relationship with Jesus? Maybe just think about it for a moment, because it should look like Jesus serving the church, amen? And submitting under the Father. It's a beautiful, beautiful illustration. So let's jump into it. I'm going to read from Ephesians 5. I'm going to start from verse 22. And then I'm going to backtrack a bit just to give us some context about it. But now let's read together. It starts with wives. Submit to your own husbands, not some other husband, to your own husbands. As to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. God's husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying to you that it refers to Christ and the church. This mystery of the one flesh refers to Christ and the church. And then it ends off by saying, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And just before we carry on, I'm just going to read us the passage before this. Okay, it gives us a bit of an idea of why it says this. So I'm going to read from verse 18, which is just before this. And it says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Important. Okay? Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then it says, wives, submit to your husbands. It's quite interesting that it says, before this, that be filled with the Holy Spirit. And be filled with the Spirit. Why does it say this? Why does it say, filled with the Spirit, and then that nice verse 21, submitting to one another, it's a link, okay, between being filled with the Spirit and submitting to one another. Why should you submit? Why do you think that is? It's important because these two passages, it can't be separated. It's a link. Okay, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to submit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit gives us an attitude of Jesus serving, yeah, submitting to one another. Being filled with God gives us an attitude of Jesus being a servant. Yeah. And it also says in 1 Corinthians 12, it's not on the board, but I'm going to read it for us. It's about the Holy Spirit. It says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. It's 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 12 to 14. That we might... But the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And it says, and we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. It's important we understand that being filled with the Holy Spirit gives us a biblical wisdom. And if you take away the Holy Spirit in this passage, you will misuse this. You will abuse this passage. The world says, women submit to men. No, it's wives. Submit to your husbands. There will be small truths that is different when we don't have the Spirit. And it's important for me, if you feel today that you do not have the Holy Spirit, we want to pray with you. We want you to come to the front at the end. I'm going to make an invitation. We want to pray for you. If you feel that you have not said to the Lord, Lord, I'm giving you my life. I want to follow you. We want to pray with you. This is important. If this does not happen, this passage that is coming will maybe sound folly. It says, 1 Corinthians 12 says, it will sound literally stupid. Who says, wife, submit to your husband? If you understand what God's heart is, then you will understand. It's important. Okay. So let's jump into it. Wives. So I would like to start with husbands, yeah? But this is not how it's written. It's written, wives. The reason why I would like to start with husbands is when we understand the husband's role, when the wife understands the husband's role, Jesus submitting himself to death, then it's easy to submit in a godly way. I mean, we are going to focus on how does it look to submit in a godly way. Okay, so, like I said, this verse is abused. So let's note a few things. Okay, it's important. This verse, you can go to verse 22, sorry. I think it's on slide 9. So this verse, wives submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, and it goes on until verse 24. This has nothing to do with the workplace. This has nothing to do with anything outside of marriage, in fact. Okay, that's the first thing to know. Second thing to know, it has nothing to do with the dating relationship. Me dating, having a boyfriend, having a girlfriend. You should not submit under your boyfriend. You submit under your dad. Firstly, unto the Lord, then unto your dad. When you are married, to your husband. Very important. Okay. Okay, we do not skip that authority of dad. Okay. Very important. Then the last thing, this has nothing to do with roles in the church. It doesn't have anything to do with roles in here. This has to do with roles in the marriage. Okay? It has nothing to do with your giftedness. Some men will say, you're my wife. She's gifted. Way more than me. And I would say no. She's probably more intelligent and more beautiful, but she's not more gifted. Amen? The wrong terminology used. Wives or women is just as gifted as men. Okay. in the roles of the church,
the same.
Right, so it has nothing to do with those things. We're going to focus on four things also. What does this not mean? So let's just read it again. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. And as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. This does not mean that wives are unequal in the marriage. Amen? So it says in Galatians, it's beautifully, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male nor female, for all are one in Christ. We are equal. Amen? So there's no, I'm more important than you. When we look at Jesus, he sent the Father, not my will, but yours. They are not less equal. They are both God, the Father and Jesus. But he submits willingly to accomplish this task. Amen? Not less equal, he submits willingly. And then Jesus is the one with the handuk. What's the thing? The towel. Around his waist when he washes his disciples' feet. He's not less equal, he submits willingly, serving. Okay, wives are not unequal. This is things that Jesus did. Second thing, does not mean that wives have to agree on everything. Amen?
Amen.
You don't have to agree on everything. Praise the Lord. Okay, there's a beautiful verse. The high priest goes to Peter and he said to him, you should stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And Peter says, we must obey God rather than men. Vivid example of we don't have to agree on everything. If our husband does things that's ungodly, do not have to agree on that. He's our first love. God is our first love. Amen. We should obey God rather than men. Okay, that's important, and it's an example to remember that. And to also remember that when your husband does something wrong, we should also bring it to the light. Amen. Come tell it to someone you trust. It's important. Don't just leave it there. But you must obey God rather than your husband, and then your husband follows. Alright, the third thing that it does not mean, it does not mean that wife does not have an influence in their marriage or in their husband's life. Another beautiful verse is 1 Peter 3 verse 1. It says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, that they may be won without the word. By the conduct of their wives, by the conduct of how you live your life, that they may be one for Jesus. There's power in being the wife. Amen? Okay. It's really important you use your role to influence your husband towards godliness. Very important. Towards godliness, not towards ungodliness. You pray for him, you support him towards godliness. Amen? Okay. You have big influence, wives, big influence. Okay. The fourth thing, it does not mean a wife should live with fear when she submits. Amen. We get abusive relationships. It says statistics in the church that 20% of marriages is abusive. It's difficult to think about. But it is the truth. His husband that does not submit to God, and therefore wives do live in fear. It should not mean this. It says in 1 John 4 that there is no fear in love. Verse 18. But perfect love casts out fear. And this is another thing I want to encourage you to. If you are in an abusive relationship, or if you feel that you are living in fear, it's important to talk to someone. I'm not the pastor. Cannot come to me, but please go to Dylan, go to your small group leader, go to someone. We are not the type of church that's going to beat up the husband. We loved it. We love to help. Okay, it's important.
We'll send the name.
Yeah, we'll send the name. There's a beautiful definition that John Piper uses. He says, submission is the divine calling of a wife, something that's called from God, to honor and affirm her husband's leadership. Not to kick against it. To honor and affirm his leadership. And help him carry it through that gifts that he has placed in you. And to honor and affirm and help him. Amen. Right, so that's the four things that this passage does not mean. What does it mean? Yeah, let's look at what does it mean. It means that the husband is the head. The head, the word head, in Greek it's the word kephale, which means to have authority over. You have authority over. It's like that game, do you know that game, follow the leader? Where we walk in a row and then whatever I do, you do.
In spur.
Yeah, we all know that game, eh? And sometimes you get that funny kid who likes to climb in the tree and jump the fence and get through the mud. Stuff like that. Get that funny guy, man. Eh? And sometimes we are that funny guy if we lead our families, you know. Eh? Sometimes it's important to just look back to see where are you leading them. You are leading them. You cannot choose that. That's something that God chose. He said, you are the leader. And they will follow you, whether it's away from Christ or towards Christ. It's important, husbands, that you lead well towards godliness. Amen. And it also does mean that the big decisions will come down on your head. And that you will have to bear the consequences. It does not mean that he's the only one that can make decisions. But it means that the big decisions goes He's also, it does mean that he's the primary disciplinarian. Okay, if brother makes a mess, it's important that daddy steps in. Okay? It does not mean that mom can't ever discipline. That's not what I'm saying. But it's important that he approves and that he's present when these things happen. Amen? Okay. Does not mean that mom can't read Bible verses as well. Obviously, she can teach her kids about the Lord, but he needs to take the lead in the household. Okay. There's a fine line. Okay. It does also mean that the wife should help and support her husband. Okay, in Genesis 2 verse 18 it says, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper, fit for him. So every man here, just say, I need help. I need help. If your wife is here, just tell her, I need your help. Come on, Wally. We need help, wives. If you're going to be married one day, your husband needs help. So please help you. Okay, husbands, let's read just through this passage of husbands again. It says, husbands, love your wives. Sure, as Christ loved the church, he gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Sure, husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. It's a big, big, big task. Yeah. How does that look like? How did Jesus love the church? Let's look at 5 points. The first point is sacrificially. Yeah. He gave himself up for her. The first verse, sorry. It says, gave himself up. It means to sacrifice myself for this relationship. Okay? Second thing, he needs to serve her. Mark 10 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve give his life as a ransom for me, to serve his wife. I'm always thinking of this example of we getting out of the car, going to some kind of party or a braai or something, and the husband gets out of the car and he walks, you know, and he greets all his friends, and here comes the wife with the pram and the toddler picking up in the door, you know, struggling in the wind. That's not serving the wife. Okay, serving a wife, she's the queen. You need to love her. Okay, to serve your wife. Third one, no selfishness. This is a funny one. No selfishness. My wife, I'm going to buy you a fishing rod. I know you love it. No ways. That's selfish. Buy her things that's on her list and not yours. In Philippians 2, it says, this is how Jesus is loving the church. Now, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant. Fourth point, unconditionally. Jesus loves us unconditionally. Does your wife know that you love her unconditionally? No matter what she does, you love her. It's difficult. It says in Romans 8, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Unconditionally. And this is an awesome one, the last one, to be tender in your authority. Loving her with tender authority. What do we like to do if we... husbands, we like to misuse this authority. Even to say, when your wife comes to you and say, Lord, love you, I would like to go maybe Saturday, do this, and you're like, no. It's being harsh. It's being rude. It says in Colossians, husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh. In Afrikaans, it says, do not make them bitter. Do not make life bitter for them. Make it nice. It sounds weird, but love them. She's the queen. Treat her as if she is the queen. There's this picture of the crazy cycle. You can show us that white one. It says in verse 33, Ephesians 5, it ends off with, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now this cycle gets crazy if that does not happen. Yeah. The man, while he's laughing at the front. When he reacts without love, she reacts without respect. Then he will react without love, and then she will react without respect. And this is, you are destroying each other. This keeps on going until one of you decided I will be the better one, I will love and I will respect. Then we stop this cycle. Sacrificially laying myself down as Jesus laid himself down. Jesus shows us these beautiful pictures when he submits under the Father as wives should submit, and then he dies for his bride as we should die for our wives. Amazing. He shows both roles and he shows us both roles. It's beautiful. There's two verses. Sorry, I'm going to go a bit back. I'm making the media person now. Matthew 20, it says, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Verse 25, it says, but Jesus called them to him and saying, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. And now, in verse 26, he's going to explain what authority should look like. He is saying, it shall be not so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man cannot be served but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for me. Jesus took the ego and the self-centeredness out of authority. Eh?
And he redefined it as the capacity to love and to serve. The desire to serve, even unto death, to bring out the holiness of his bride, the happiness of his bride. Roth, it's a big task. Look at this beautiful, this is for the men, and then for the wives. Look at this beautiful picture in Philippians 2. It says, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He didn't want to be equal, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, being humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And then God has highly bestowed him, glorified him, because he served, he submitted himself. This leads to glorification, eh? When we are obedient to what God calls us to do. This was not compelled by Jesus. He decided to do it. Our worth, wives, is not in our roles, eh? Our worth is not in our roles, but we will be co-heirs, sons and daughters. So I want to maybe look a bit, this is our first point for today. You need to take the Jesus role in your marriage, but also in your relationships. You need to submit. When we submit, we can love more. I'm going to explain that now, that's our second point. I'm going to explain a bit more. What happens when we do not submit ourselves? What happens when we see marriage differently? We see relationship differently. When we see this relationship that we have with God differently. When we do not submit, we see it as a fulfillment tool. What can I get out of it? Amen? Yeah. We are all guilty. Hey, what can I get out of this relationship with this Jesus guy? And then we miss everything. What can I get out of this marriage? How can I be filled? And let me tell you what happens then. If this is your mindset, you need to get someone that you think is perfect. Because if there's something wrong, it will influence this fulfillment of mine. They also need to think that you are perfect, and they need to be willing to jump into bed anytime. Otherwise, I'm not fulfilled. And then what we do is we say, yeah, I need to test this before my marriage. Check if it can work because it needs to fulfill me. And then we stay together. And we sin, living sin. But if we have it the other way around, I'm laying myself down for this person. Oh, new perspective. We tend to think of this relationship as what can I get in a selfish way. And then we on top of that, we say he must have a good job and he must be a Christian. That's what we do. If we don't have the Spirit of God to guide us. And think about this. How much do you do this with Jesus? And I want you to reflect about this. Is it a relationship with God? What can I get out of it? When is he blessing me again? The thing is, when you lay yourself down, when you serve, then you can love. Not the other way around. Think of my child. I've only changed nappies and gave food. And I love this child of mine. How does that work? How does that work? That's how Jesus made us. God made us this way. When we serve, we can love. Not the other way around. When we enter this thing in a selfish way, in a self-centeredness way, it's not love. Love is a sacrificial service. Something that I need to sacrifice myself. It's something that Jesus came to do and showed it perfectly for us. Died on the cross. That's how it should look like. And I want you to just say, sorry, Lord, if this is me in any way, if this is me in any way that I come to you with anything like, when will you bless me? When will you help me? Will you help me with this? We're basically seeing God as a vending machine. Can I have a chocolate now? Can I have this now? That's not the way. Amen? Okay, to sacrifice ourselves, it's important. It's better for us to serve our spouses. It's better for us to serve Jesus. For us, for myself. It's better for me to serve my wife. I will find more joy and peace when I serve. I will find it less when I'm selfish. You can go test that. If you are sitting on the couch, your wife is asking you things to do, you're like, no, I'll go do it yourself. You will feel horrible. If you go and serve her, you feel better. It's better to serve. That's how God made us. If you made a cake, you know how it tastes. He made us. That's how He wired us. To serve and to love and to sacrifice ourselves. Then we become happy. Then we become accepted. When we spend that time with Jesus, we become accepted. A lot of times we look for our happiness and our peace and all kinds of things. We've all heard this. Made idols. Maybe not carved a wooden idol. But you've made an idol. Maybe it's Netflix. Maybe it's sport. Maybe it's whatever. But it does not bring the fulfillment that Jesus brings us. Now, to encourage you to sacrifice yourself as Jesus sacrificed Himself to the Lord. Give this a chance. That brings us to our second point, which I'm ending off with. Love is a sacrificial act that is needed for any biblical relationship, any relationship. It's a sacrificial act that you need to know of, that you need to obey when you want to have any good relationship. Any good relationship. Especially with our spouse and especially with the Lord. If you are single today, this is gold. It's a sacrificial act. You need to lay things down. You maybe need to leave that thing on a Sunday to come to church. You need to leave that thing on whenever to go to small group. It's a sacrificial act. And it doesn't stop there. It flows out in our workplace. I mean, you cannot stop having the Holy Spirit. Now I'm turning it on, now I'm turning it off. It's important that we serve the Lord with all of our hearts. Okay, so can I ask you guys to stand with me as a matter to respond to this? I'm going to pray for us and I'm going to read for us what I want you to just repent of. We are all guilty, amen. I'm struggling with this as well. This is not easy, guys. Okay, so let's just close our eyes. Let me just pray for us. Lord Jesus, you showed us so beautifully how you want us to do things, how you want us to love, how you want us to lay ourselves down. And we are sorry, Lord. We repent. We cannot do this on our own. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you, Jesus. Lead us. We need you, Jesus, for your wisdom. We need you that to come and help us, Lord. How does it look like to sacrifice myself for you? How does it look like to sacrifice myself for those around me, for my wife, for my husband? Will you please guide us, Lord? Please guide us. We need you. If today you feel in any way that you are struggling with this laying myself down, I have these things that I love. I'm struggling to let it go. We want to pray with you. All it needs is I'm guilty of that. Let's pray for that. God just wants our hearts to turn back to Him. If there's something in your heart that says that, I want you to come to the front. We'll be here in the front. We are going to pray with you. If you feel that you are not sure whether you have the Holy Spirit, if you're not sure whether you are filled with the Spirit, I want you to come to the front. I want you at least to turn someone else. Let's pray together for this. Now, Lord, we just want to come before you. We want to repent for all these things. Sorry that we made ourselves some idols that's maybe more important than you. Now show us and guide.